The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, so Made in Chapel podcast episode 78. I got it right this time. Didn't go right last week, so I had to get back on. But episode 78, make sure to like, share, subscribe, all of that good stuff. Retweet, you know what to do. All right, so 78, I'm going to let the people introduce themselves. First, I've got to introduce the guests. This is family, went to school together. So glad we've managed to get her on. Alia, tell the people about yourself.
Hi, I'm Ali Loren. I'm a DJ. I've done radio presenting and stuff as well. And I can say, like, content creator. I work with brands and stuff as well. So, yeah, all around kind of mix of stuff.
Iman?
Listen, people, what's happening? Shout-outs to all my dons in Mumbai. Shout-outs to all my G's in New Delhi and that. Feel me?
Oh, yeah. You know,
hey, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, big up yourself.
Shouts, yeah, of course, man. Shouts to the new listeners. This E-Man, you know, of course, this episode 78. You know what I mean?
Fact. Yeah, India, we see you, man. We see them charts.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure. Carlson Nussi in the building. Don Corleone. Mm. Is what it is. When it isn't, we here. Let's do this.
And I am two Dems. So, yes, let's get into it. Episode 78. All right. So, the way we're going to start is, Ali, we just want to get a bit of a, I don't want to say understanding, but we just want to talk about you a bit more, you know, and your career DJing. How did you get into it? All of that sort of stuff. And just give us some insight into who you are.
Okay. So, I started doing radio presenting. God, when was it? It was like 20... Oh, can I even pinpoint a time on it? Was it 2014, 2013? I can't remember the exact time. A long time ago, basically. Mm. And I met my friend, Rebecca Judd, who is now on Beats One. So she's six, she's interviewing everyone you can think of now.
Yeah, shout out to Rebecca.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys know who she is. She's brilliant. And she was doing radio hosting at the time. So I was like speaking to her. I thought, oh, cool. Let me try and do radio hosting. Let me get into it. So I didn't know if I'd represent. That's quite a big station. It was based in Peckham. Yeah, it's a really, really good station for the youth. So they was doing like training sessions. There was an ad for it saying, if you want to get into radio and stuff like that, we're doing training. So I thought, cool, let me apply whilst I was in uni. And I hated uni at the time. Like, it just wasn't like, I studied law for like a month and then I switched to English. And I just thought, this just isn't for me. Mm. So I started doing the training and I was like religious, like relentless with it. Like, I went to all the training sessions, like I went ham with everything. And obviously the radio station recognized that quite a lot. So then within like a month, like they asked me to start covering shows on the station while other people were still training, which was insane. So I started doing some covering shows at rep. And I think a month after that, they asked me to have my own like show. I think it was like midday. It was like playing mainstream stuff. But then I got to like implement some things that I wanted to play. So I started playing some grime stuff.
Got you.
And then I went to LA, stayed there for like a month or something. But whilst I was in LA, I got shouted by Gavin, who is at Radar. I don't know if you heard of Radar Radio before they all like happened and stuff. So yeah, they shouted me to have my complete own grime show just for me. And I was like, oh God, Owen and Aaron, should I leave Rep? Because I've been with them like for a short time, but they really helped me out. And then I ended up going to Radar because obviously it was such a big opportunity. And then I was on Radar for a couple years, which was like sick whilst it was sick, basically. Even though all the stuff that happened, I'm grateful for the opportunity, but all the stuff that happened after, yeah, obviously I can't agree with that whatsoever. But yeah, I did that. And then Gavin was he's an amazing mentor. he told me, like, if you're doing radio and stuff, you need to be doing DJing as well. It's going to open loads of doors and opportunities for you. So because of him, I started going into practice room, practicing with other DJs that were on the station that really helped me out a lot. And yeah, and then slowly, like, my name started picking up a bit more, especially, like, obviously doing the Graham show and stuff like that. And then slowly, brands and stuff, so I've done stuff like Urban Outfitters and other brands, they've shouted me to, like, play at their stores and stuff like that. So slowly, like, my name's picked up. And yeah, it just blossomed from there.
No, we love to see the progression. How hard is DJing, like, really and truly? Because there's definitely an art to it, you know what I mean? Like, playing the right song at the right time. And you know, a good DJ, like, I always know a good DJ when no one has to go up to them to ask, can you play this? I mean, sometimes it might still happen, but
that's not me.
What's
You know what? That's so techie. It's so techie with that, because each DJ has their own style and they like to play their own things. So with me, I've had stages where I've, like, mixed grime, or, like, I've done, like, because I mainly do, like, rap and I play everything. Like, I play tribal stuff, like techno. Yeah. If I feel like it mixes and beats well with it, then obviously I can do it. But obviously it's so stressful because you go into the dance and you have to play things, or you have to read the crowd to see what they like.
Yeah.
Like, one minute they're going to like one thing, another club might like something completely different. Do you know what I mean? And like, even I played in France once, they like all the techier kind of sounds. And then when I played at Wireless, like, some of the stuff you could tell they weren't really feeling it, or they was feeling it. So you really, it's quite hard to obviously read the crowd.
Yeah, it is.
As gen, like, time's gone on, like, we had like the big hype with grime, and then obviously we're switching over to drill and stuff now. So, like, times are changing with what people were like preferring and stuff like that all the time. You have to keep up with it. But yeah, like, DJing, it's like, it's different because people use Serato, so you have to watch the screen and make, like, match the beats, or you can use Record Box, and that, like, brings up the tempos for you, and you just press play and, like, mix it in and stuff. But then you've got some people who are like doing the beat matching by ear, so they're listening and changing the tempo and stuff, which is obviously, like, you have to be skilled to do that. That's DJing for me. Like, that's,
yeah, that's super achievement.
100%. It is hard. But the people that do it, and, like, let's say you probably won't know who these people are, like Grime Mixer and General Quartz, they're like doing grime and stuff like that. Plus, they play like loads of melodic stuff anyway. If you watch them play, like, they beat match to the T, and the chopping and the technicality of things, like, I feel like there's two type of DJs. You've got the technicality ones that are like the DJs, like, they're the ones that are like, you know, but then when you go out to the, like, the dance or the rave, the dance, if you go out to the rave or whatever, or the event, you're probably like looking out for just like six tunes to be played. Do you know what I mean? Just mixing them together. Yeah. So there's like different ranges to it. So it's quite, diverse.
That's insane to me, because that is literally, I think it is just a case of how good can you read the room. And it must be at times really tough. Have you been in situations where you've been, where you express that situation at Wireless, where it's like, what do I do here, sort of thing? Especially because something like Wireless is such a diverse amount of people.
Yeah, so with the Wireless one, I was doing it because I was on Foundation FM for a little bit, and they was doing the VIP area. So obviously, if you want to go get your drinks and stuff like that, but I didn't realize how obviously busy it was going to be, but it's Wireless anyway. So it wasn't like main stage or anything like that, but I was playing stuff and people were asking like, oh, have you got Drake? Have you got this? Have you got that? But like, I was playing garagey stuff. I was playing a mix of it because you can't, the crowd is so diverse. You don't know like what you're expecting to play and stuff like that. So that instance for me, I kind of had to take a step back from DJing, which I have done for a little while, and kind of analyze what I want to do. But obviously with COVID and stuff that's happened, I've wanted to go practice room and practice mixing and stuff, and it's just not really possible right now. So hopefully when this is all done, I can actually go, because that's one thing I've wanted to do throughout this whole time, is just literally try and perfect my craft and be like, yo, I'm watching Ali Laurent and she's sick like all round. Do you know what I mean?
That is the next step, I guess, just trying to perfect it. For you, what does perfection look like in terms of your ability to DJ?
Ooh, perfection to me, I feel like it's so weird, because when I'm seeing DJs now, like I could watch a set and people might not pay attention to how the music's being played. If I hear something completely out, if I'm with someone, I'm like, oh my God, that tune's out. Can you hear it's out? And they're like, no, I can't notice it, but I can hear it. So like, perfection to me is kind of stuff like that, which I haven't even completely mastered yet. I'm not even saying like, oh, I'm perfect. It's not even that. Like I'm knowing I need a lot of work to do compared to a lot of people that I know that are like unreal. But like, even music selections, so I've been going on TikTok lately and seeing some other DJs like from all over the world, some of the beats that they're putting together that you would never expect is like unbelievable. And you just turn around and think like, oh my God, like that's just such a unique mix to put together. Like perfection is like knowing the beats and hearing two songs and being like, that's going to like flow together plus the beat match. And I think that to me is like perfection.
You hear the craziest matches on TikTok. I heard,
oh my God.
I heard like 50 Cent in the club in some random song. I was like, how have you made that match in your head? Like,
no, impossible. I mean, that's perfection. That's literally come on and be like, raw, I could never think those two things would go together. Like, it's amazing. I think I saw Rihanna and something else. I can't remember, but I had to watch it like 50 times. I was like, oh my God, this is literally insane. This is sick.
There was one that I lost my mind. I can't, it was hot in here and she mixed it in with, so I can't remember what she mixed it in with, but literally the way when she did it and it was perfect. So say that again.
Jotty, was it a boiler room?
It was a boiler room, yes.
Everyone was playing, I think.
Yeah.
And then everyone was hyping after. I think it's Jotty.
Life changing.
That
beat switch up was insane. And it's my thing about it, what I love most is when you don't see it coming and they put something together and you've been like, how have you done that? Or how did your brain even think to put those two songs together? But they do it masterfully.
Jotty, that went like TikTok viral, Twitter viral, Instagram viral. I was like, oh my God, Jotty. Like everyone was messaging her that knows her. Just like, oh my God, like this is sick. Like it took over completely. She's gained loads of followers from me. Like it's insane. Like,
how do you think she had that moment though? Like what do you think?
It's so
obviously it went viral because it's so sick, but like, what do you think went through her head when she was like, yo, I'm about to, this whole dance is over. Everyone going home after this.
I don't even know when that boiler room was, but I think someone was obviously watching the boiler room, took a clip from it and was like, yo, this is sick. And then obviously that just spread like wildfire. So I don't think it was even her playing it to be like, yo, this is going to go viral. She just done like a very sick set.
And
I think it just someone just picked it up and it just went mad. Like,
But I think obviously, I don't think when people go viral, the intention is to ever go viral. But I guess my question is more, how did she have, like, what do you think, as a DJ to DJ, what do you think went through her head in that moment to be like, yo, this is going to go so well? Do you think is it chance or what is it down to?
I think if you see her from her reaction in the video, she's like, she's telling you, like, yo, wait one minute. Like, you're going to hit this drop and it's going to be sick. She already knows people are going to go off to it, whether that's already from reaction. Because obviously you can have, like, a list of songs or matches that you've had together and think, oh, I've gone into the rave before and that's already been a sick match. I know people are going to react to sick to that. So she's obviously, I don't know if she's played it before, but she melodically knows, like, yo, 1 minute, like, wait for the drop. This is going to be mad. And then it just went off,
Have you ever had a moment where you thought, oh, this is going to end the dance and it didn't, and have you had a moment vice versa where you thought, I don't know why that got people so gassed, you know what I mean?
Do you know what, SBTV Summer Cookout, I think I played, was it Nines, and I mixed it with something else, and like, I don't know if you know, like, Jamal Edwards, he does like SBTV Summer Cookout, it was like some event after the summer. It was so sick. And I remember playing, and it was years ago, and I was playing, and it was like not even the main room. There was like two rooms, the main room and that, like, the outdoor bit. And I was mixing, and like, it wasn't packed out. And when I started mixing certain things, bro, the room just started like filling up. I had people tweeting after saying, yo, you got people from the main room to come to your room. Like, people, like, the hype and stuff of it was so sick. So yeah, I can't remember. It was like Nines and something else. I think it was Nines into like a Freddo tune. And then it just it went off. It was just so sick. And
yeah, I love that.
Like, another time that I wore, what was the negative part?
Like, did you, well, not negative, but like, you thought, this would go off, and it didn't necessarily have the impact you were looking for.
It didn't bang. Like,
basically.
Just looking at you funny. Yeah. It just looking at you a bit funny, like, yo.
Oh, do you know what? I did a booking, and it was, I think, by far my worst booking. And literally, it was more like, the thing is, you think you're getting booked for the name, so people book you because they know what you're playing. I got booked to play, and I had like two or three bashment tunes, and people were hyping to that. I didn't have any, like, it was a rave. You could tell from the crowd on what people reacted to. They wanted to listen to bashment or Afrobeats and stuff like that. I had three tunes, bro. That was it. So I played other stuff, and then people coming up to me saying, yo, have you got this? Have you got this? Have you got this? And I was like, yeah, like, I've got to be here for like an hour, and I don't have bashment tunes. Do you know what I mean? And that just was a wake-up call for me as well. Like, I remember Gavin was saying to me, like, you need to spread to different genres. And if you want to DJ to anyone, and you're going to be a multi-genre DJ, be prepared to have bare tunes from every genre. Because I was standing there the whole time, people staring at me. I was like, I want to go home. Like, this is literally... But it was a massive learning curve for me to be like, do you know what I mean? So yeah, I have free bashment tunes or Afrobeats tunes. Like, make sure you have...
I bet you went home and you was doing your Googles hard.
I was just cringing at myself for like ages. Like, Alia, how did you even let that happen? And then afterwards...
Has streaming changed the game? Because I don't know... So would that still happen now? Because surely, is your Spotify just hooked up to your Serato, or do you still have to download all your songs?
Yeah, no, I don't use Serato. I just like obviously use USB, and then obviously I've been using Rekordbox, but I'm trying to perfect doing beat matching and stuff. But if you're in, like, a lot of people now do use Rekordbox, because when you're going to the club and like you're playing tunes, it's a lot quicker to be like, cool, move the tempo, and then you play the tunes together and stuff like that. But obviously, if you're you want to do beat matching and stuff like that, then you can. I download tunes, so mainly from like iTunes and stuff like that, and then upload it onto like my USB kind of thing. Yeah, so if you actually look at my Spotify thing, like looking at it, like I don't actually massively invest into Spotify as much as I should. I think I've got like 300 tunes on there that I like, but it's a mix of everything. And I know some people are like, oh, I've got a folder of this, I've got a folder of this, I've got a folder. I need to be like that on Spotify, but I don't. It's more like on my laptop, really.
So how do you find new tunes? Like, where's your go to? Because obviously as a DJ, kind of need to be, you know, ahead of their game. Because sometimes I'll be out and about and I'll hear someone drop something in a set and I'm like, I wonder how this DJ came across this tune. What's your process like?
Yeah, so I mean, I've taken obviously a break for it for a while because obviously with COVID and stuff like that, and just obviously wanting to get better anyway. But from what I was doing when I was like searching heavily, it was more so like SoundCloud at the time, because I like original tunes, but I like remixes. You know, when someone's done like a drop of something or flipped it completely, she'll have like a classic tune, like a Leah tune, and she'll flip it with like a bashment, like instrumental in the background or something, like completely switch it up. So mainly like SoundCloud and people that are like, they want you to play their remixes and stuff like that. Or I mean, like, I think watching other people as well. So even like if I'm looking at like Tiffany Calver, she's on Radio 1 and stuff like that, and One Extra. Like, you're like, whatever she's playing in rap music, whether it's UK, America, or other countries, because she plays all over, that's hot stuff right now. That's stuff you should be listening to and playing and stuff like that. She's exclusives and stuff like that. That's the stuff that's actually going to like blow in like clubs and stuff like that. So it's like seeing what other radio presenters and like DJs are essentially playing, but mainly like SoundCloud and iTunes and stuff like that, and just having an ear to what people are like on Twitter, social media, like, yo, this tune bangs. They're obviously going to want to do that when we can go out again.
It's interesting because you don't even, like, even as a DJ, you probably listen to completely different stuff that you'd be playing at times. So it must sometimes be jarring having to be like, I've got to play this tune because I know it's going to go off. But in my mind, that's the last thing I want to listen to right now.
It's all what people want to, like, you know, they want to play and stuff. I think it's Tiffany Calver, she has something like called No Request, and some DJs just hate it when you ask, like, yo, can you play this tune? Can you play this? Because, like, you're coming to see that person. I get it, you're on a night out and you're like, yo, I want to listen to Drake. Can you play some Drake? Do you know what I mean? But then sometimes, like, you have to leave the DJ to do what they're doing because they're
sometimes you have to trust the DJ.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what? I like what you said. Sometimes you have to trust the DJ, because I remember one time in Agaloof, they were playing songs that weren't necessarily... I mean, if you read the room, the demographic, it just wasn't for us. For some strange reason, he played Temper T. And then it was just us four guys just bouncing up and down, just doing what we wanted to do. Everybody fled, like they fled away from the dance floor because they didn't know what was going on. No. But then after that moment, I think he realized that, yo, I've got a crowd, let me just entertain these guys. And then a bunch of people started coming after that. That was our club for like pretty much the whole entire week. But other than that, we still enjoyed. Has that ever happened to you where pretty much you've dispersed the crowd, but you've kept a group of people who still are entertained by your stuff? By your mixing, sorry.
I've never dispersed a crowd. That's actually never happened to me, where it's like...
Sorry about that. We dispersed the crowd. Let me not lie. He was doing his thing, innit? We dispersed the crowd.
Yo, I love
that. We dispersed the crowd. So yeah, to rephrase that question, yeah. Have you ever been in a position where pretty much you were DJing and you kept a group of people entertained, but that's what kept you going?
I don't I don't think I've ever had a moment like that. Like, I'm quite lucky at like a majority of events, barring like the Bashment one, I've been playing stuff that like people like, but I've never really had the only two of instances maybe. No, I don't really think so. I think the only two bookings I haven't really liked was that, obviously, the wireless one, because I wasn't like playing, I didn't have the stuff for the crowd essentially, because I, like I said, I play a mix of everything, and then just obviously the Bashment one, the free tune Bashment one. That's the, yeah, I haven't really dispersed the crowd, not that I can think of. I've had like the few that were just like, yo, we're here, like, keep going, like, yeah, I haven't actually had that, you know. It's either like the only two instances where it's just been like I've messed up, or like the other ones are pretty much like a lot of the events I've done, I've actually had a really good reaction. So
I think like it's so important, a good DJ can really make a good night, because it was, even I remember this, when we went to Hoxton for my birthday, maybe 2-3 years ago now, and when the DJ played KMT, it was different, man. Like, when it came on, it was perfect timing in the night as well, because it was just, it needed to come on at that time. And you just feel like, yo, the DJ did me a favor. Like, I didn't even have to tell him, but we had a link that day and he knew he needed to play KMT. And it was just, it was such a vibe. And it's just amazing how, like, music and stuff like that can just bring you all together. Does anyone have moments like that where they think, right, the DJ actually did their thing that night?
I feel like it's been so long. We've been inside for so long.
Remember those nights?
Forgot what even going on. Feels nights. Like.
For real.
Oh, God.
Actually, I do have one, but the thing is, I don't know what happened afterwards. So this was in Norwich, and I was celebrating my boy Severin. Shout out to Severin. He's family. And 6-7, they came and performed as well. And for some reason, Dougie was playing, like, I was gone in the head. But Dougie was playing, I was with Monkey. And then, fam, after Dougie, I don't remember what happened. All I know is I was on the couch, and then that's it.
You was on a wave. That's
all I remember. I remember Dougie, and then that's it. I was outside. After outside, I was in a car. After the car, I was on the couch. Then I woke up, like, 8 a.m. That's it. That's what I remember. But I remember that song in particular. That was my tune. So
that hangover must have been real.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Say less.
Of course. But I've even been impressed with, like, they were playing like songs where it's almost like day parties.
Mm.
And then they play 21 questions. Do you get what I'm saying? Like songs that they could just pull out of the noughties and then just bring it today and just say, yo, this is the song like you should be listening to. So everyone was singing to it, everyone was vibing to it. So yeah, I would say 21 Questions and Dougie. Those two songs, definitely. But because I haven't been out so long,
I hear that.
I'll just see what happens, you know what I mean?
I think the ones I've had, like, specifically is Whipping Excursion, like, with gigs. Anytime that was, like, going off in the rave, like, literally, like, you just hear the beginning drop of it and it's just everyone just, like...
yeah, that song is iconic.
It. That's literally, it's classic. That's classic tune. Yeah,
yeah, that is... Gigs has got a few of those that, you know, they're just a shelling, basically. It's playtime's done.
He's legend.
I love that. He is a legend. Give him his flowers while he's still here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I guess just before we move on, what are you excited most about when you are able to be in your element and start DJing again?
What am I most excited about? I think it's just seeing people's reactions. I think that's the thing I'm most excited. I think it's just... Like, obviously, this year, and practically, is it been a year? It's been a year, basically.
It's been a year, basically.
In my head, I'm thinking it's been 2 years. It's that long.
It feels like
that. Don't do that.
It's been so hard for everyone, and people have lost people. Mm. Like, emotions have been everywhere. Even me, like, emotionally this year has been, like, a bloody roller coaster. But I think just going back and be able to see people being happy, like, in that moment, just enjoying themselves, like, hyping up to you, even, like, hyping with their friends, whatever else it means, just, like, people being together and just being happy, because I think that's something everyone's really missed this year, to be honest.
Okay, Ali, you need to do me a favour. When you're back DJing, the first song you have to play is Future, Mask Off. That's what you need to do.
I put on my Instagram story. What did I put? I said Future's ahead of his time, because, like, when they play in the rave, this is gonna go mad. Like, honestly, he's way ahead of his time. He's literally.
Yo, when they find the cure, play that Mask Off.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm excited.
100%.
That's my favor. That's all I'm asking.
Because I know you guys were talking about like tunes that'll go off in the summer. I think that's definitely, if that plays, everyone's gonna go mad. 100%.
He might have a number one on his hands, man. For real.
What a surprise.
Would not.
Yeah, no,
June 21st.
Hopefully, let's hope.
Hopefully. All right, so on to, I guess, a bit more of a somber note. Second topic. I think it's important that we discuss it. And it's great that we have a, you know, female in the room while, when we're discussing it. So just want to start off by saying RIP to Sarah Everard, who lost her life. Condolences, obviously, to her family as well. It's a messed up situation. I don't think everyone saw the news and did not feel comfortable with that. The way the story played out, the fact, you know, for me personally, I'm just going to say my opinion, the fact that, you know, she did everything that women are told to do that they shouldn't really have to do. You know, if society was in a better place, you know, she wore bright color, bright clothing. She was on the phone to her boyfriend on the way home. The route she took was well lit. So she didn't do anything, you know, there's no blame that can fall at her feet. Not that she should be blamed, but she took the necessary precautions. The fact that it was a police officer who, you know, more will come out, but it seems he's abused his power. And then on top of that, the fact that, you know, he'd done something 3 days earlier, was still allowed to carry his gun. It's just, the whole thing is insane. And it just goes back to the fact that, you know, we have to do better as a society. And again, similar to the way last summer we were telling people of other ethnic or of other groups that when Black people are talking on certain issues, listen to them. I think, again, when it comes to this, at this moment in time, I think as men, we just need to listen to what the women have to say, especially on this topic, because it's been such an eye-opener. And it's like the things that women can't do and how uncomfortable they feel in certain situations, it's insane.
100%. Completely agree with you. Completely agree with you.
How does everyone else feel on the topic?
Yeah, man, it's been one of those weeks, isn't it? Like even when they initially announced it, it's just, you always fear for the worst when you hear these type of situations, and then and it's a police officer, and it's just terrible. And I think just to echo your sentiment, Demi, like I think men, like we have to hold ourselves accountable for these actions, because it's us that are committing these like things against women. So ultimately, we have to look at ourselves, look at each other, even just to think the small things we do. Let's say, for example, even me, like I would walk, obviously it's worse because I'm Black, but I'd walk towards like the off-license near where I live. And like, there could be a woman in front of me. Now in my mind, I'm thinking there's nothing to it. But in her mind, she'll be intimidated. She might think,
she's panicking.
It's not, it is what it is. So I think as men, you just got to like, think outside of your own shoes, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's just a terrible situation all around.
Yeah, it's crazy the things that we could just simply do to make them feel a bit more comfortable. Like obviously I live with two girls and, you know, they're pretty good friends, so we've had some real conversations, and it's just the fact of, you know, I kind of already knew this one, but if say you're walking behind a woman and just cross the road, like it'll just make her feel more comfortable. It's a weight lifted off her shoulder. She's not saying completely divert the whole route, but like the little things that we can do, you know, to make people feel more safe. And that's what we should do. And it's not, I don't want to say the cliche of, you know what, I've got a sister, it could have been her sort of thing. But, you know, I think a lot of men do look at it that way. I do have a sister. In fact, all three of us have sisters. So I look at it that way and I'm like, yo, that could have been someone I really care about. So it's just taking the necessary precautions to make sure that everyone feels safe, as they should.
It's even bigger than that. Do you remember when we had Tolly on? She was like, you know, the man them always think, oh, if it was your sister, if it was your mum. But it's deeper than that. If it's your friend, if it's your colleague, if it's someone that's you don't even know. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's
it's bigger than looking at it from a personal point of view. Because I think in our minds, we only really get affected by things if it affects your immediate. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear that.
You know. Somebody could easily seen her across the street and not known who she is and be like, oh, okay, this looks dodgy. Let me just try to pretend I know her. And the whole situation is avoided. Do you know what I'm saying? So it has to be, it has to be more than just a family.
It's like, scary, man. That's people's reality. You're so right. Because I've seen that like on TikTok and stuff. And, you know, literally girls are in situations where they can see, or people see people in situations where like you said, looks dodgy. And then they've come up to them and then they've been like, oh, you know, is everything all right here? How are you? And then they removed the girl from that situation. And they find out the girl was like, she didn't know who he was and is basically harassing her. So, yeah, now I think we can, if you see something happening, there's definitely room for us to all step in.
From a female's perspective, like, Wim, it's so, like, this whole week I've felt, like, so numb. Like, basically, when she first got announced as being missing, maybe a day or two after, obviously, it was being posted on Twitter and stuff like that. So I was reposting on my Instagram and stuff like that. And I was just thinking, oh, it's a missing woman. She's going to get found and, like, stuff like that. And then, obviously, the news obviously progressed that a police officer got arrested and then human remains were being, like, found and stuff like that. And then people were already saying, like, RIP Sarah Everard and stuff like that. And I just felt so numb because in my head I was thinking, I was still being so hopeful. I was like, how can you people say she's dead? Like, stop it. Like, she's still, like, there's still keep hope. And then obviously when they announced that, was it yesterday, I think, that her remains, like, this whole week has just been so numbing because alongside that, like, a woman, like a fellow woman's past, she was wearing bright clothing, she was only just walking home, bro. Like, and even like when I spoke to my partner, I actually thanked him the other day because I literally messaged him saying thank you, because every time I walk home he always calls me and makes sure, like, I say, oh, it's cool, you just go do what you're doing. He says, no, I have to make sure you get home, like, say, and obviously when you, like, I can come off the phone, I'd say thank you because I never really deeped it at the time. And even like I was posting on Instagram, like, when I was in uni, I used to have really bad insomnia and I had depression and stuff like that. Like, 2-3 in the morning in East London, I'd go out for a walk, like, literally Whitechapel, wherever. And looking back now, it was such a stupid mistake because even when I speak to people about it now, they even say, like, that's so dumb because the amount of, like, girls that get kidnapped and put into, like, you know, sex gangs and stuff like that and held against their will and stuff like that. But then at the same time, I'm thinking, as a woman, why can't I do that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just been so numbing, like, seeing and hearing other people's experiences. I'm reading women's experiences that I know that I didn't know have been sexually assaulted in the workplace, when they're walking home, when, you know, domestic abuse by partners, whatever else it may be. And it's just such a numbing feeling to think, like, I've had my own experiences and to know that there's so many other women that are going through the same. And it's just not normalized, but it's as if, like, we've all gone through it and, like, as if we have to deal with it and, like, nothing's changed from it. And now we've lost Sarah Everard. Like, she was literally just walking home. Literally just walking home. And
yeah, no, it's insane.
It's the same thing with, like, my parents. Because, like, most of the time it's, like, my little sister. I mean, now she's an adult, but at the same time, I have to walk her to certain places. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, let's say we're going Grays, she'd be like, yeah, let's go to Grays. Be like, all right, whatever. Like, just to take care of her. I already know that something could possibly happen.
Mm.
But actually, no, I know for a fact nothing's going to happen. Do you get what I'm saying? But something like that situation where it's somebody random, where she's done all the right things, she's by herself, all of a sudden she gets taken. And then now we have to find out that a week later, you know, she's found in Kent. Do you get what I'm saying? And these sort of things, they shouldn't happen. They shouldn't be happening. But because my parents have pretty much installed in me, like, yo, always make sure your sister's protected. Make sure you go to the shop with her if she needs to go shop. Just make sure she's okay and stuff like that. Sometimes it's jarring, but it's necessary. So then for somebody like her, where she's just by herself, she's an adult. Do you know what I'm saying? She's in her 30s where she's just like, nothing's going to happen to me. Stuff like that. You know, it just happens, of course. I mean, it's happened, but it's just, it's things that shouldn't really be happening in our life today, especially.
Yeah.
We have to understand that.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
There's people out there like that. We have to take our precautions. We have to be careful, you know. But also on the men's side, I mean, we do have to have that in our conscience as well. Like, make sure that some people are doing, people are doing things to make sure that other individuals feel safe. So, like, for example, walking behind a woman, like, just walk to the side. Even like when I'm walking, like, let's say, for example, I was walking in the morning at one point, and the woman is walking her dog, but the thing is, she goes and walks on another route to come back on the same path. So I'm thinking to myself, why is she doing that? Mainly because she wanted to be safe. In my mind, I'm not thinking that. But now, these situations that are happening and they're occurring, we can learn from it, but it shouldn't be the situation. It shouldn't be a situation like this again that should happen. We should take, every man should learn from this to make sure that women are safe in some way, shape or form. And also, at the same time, we should also make sure that our people are safe as well. So, for example, myself, make sure my sister's safe most times. So walk her to the next shop, come back with her, just have a conversation with her, whatever. With somebody like that, make sure that, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, you're always walking to the shop together to make sure that you are careful. In times like that, 1 a.m., make sure you're walking with somebody at least, because if anything happens, there's two of you. See what I'm saying? But, you know, it's very sad to hear that, you know, Sarah was one of the ones who was taken away from her family, her friends.
That is it, really.
See, because I've known you like such a long time, and I can, like, you guys are so blessed, and I know all of you have been brought up well and, like, respect women and everything like that. Not every man's like that. So it's having that conscious decision that, you know, I was even speaking to my dad the other day about, even on a cultural perspective, I was like, because obviously I'm from an Arab background, like, oh, dad, why is it from people from our culture and community, like, it's so patriarchal, we can't dress how we want and this, that. And he was like, we don't live in an ideal world that protects women. And even, like, with, if I dress a certain way, my dad doesn't think of a cultural, like, perspective. If he thinks, oh, no, you shouldn't be wearing that, he's thinking about my security and safety. And he said that to me before, like, it's all safe and saying, like, oh, women can dress how they want, this, this, that. And I'll always preach women should be able to dress how they want. We don't live in an ideal world, though. So I always preach that. But I always, no matter what I preach and what I say, I always put in to the side, as long as you're in a safe manner to do so, because, like, the situations that women can put them, not put themselves in, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just, we have to take that extra precaution to be careful when we're going out. Even when I'm walking, like, I don't even consciously realize that I do these things when I do it. When I'm walking home, I can look behind me. If I'm walking past, like, a group of people, I'm, like, trying to scan the people to think, like, oh, what's their kind of demeanor? Like, do they, like, look a bit dodgy or anything like that? Or, like, yeah, it's just constantly, and it's draining.
It is.
Constantly having that precaution, like, oh, if I wear this, is a guy going to do this, is that? And I remember posting, well, not remember, literally, like, 2 days ago, I posted on Instagram, because loads of people were talking about their experiences, so I thought, oh, let me say mine. And there's been a few instances, but one in particular, I was out with my friend, and, like, we was in the smoking area, and I was with a guy and my best friend at the time, and she'd knocked the guy's drink over, and, like, this other guy, like, some random guy's drink over, and this guy, I don't know if he was drunk, whatever, like, big guy, come up to her and said, you're paying for my drink, you're effing this, this, that, you're paying for my drink. And she weren't backing herself, so I said, she's not paying for your drink, like, you left it on the floor, she's not paying for your drink. This guy got him, I was saying it calmly as well, this guy got in my face, hurling abuse at me, spat in my face, and was saying, like, oh, if we was outside, this would be a completely different situation, like, basically saying he's going to F me up. And I was shook after, like, I was standing my ground, like, because I'm quite, like, a tough, fiery person anyway, I'm not going to let anyone make me back down. But then, like, as he walked off, I kind of, like, deflated a bit, and I was like, that situation could have gone completely differently.
Yeah.
And then the guy friend didn't say a single thing, even the guy friend.
That's crazy.
And obviously, when he walked off, he was like, oh, my God, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was just standing there, like...
You didn't back it. Like, you literally watched all that happen.
I was backing you. You didn't do nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, just the whole night, I just felt like I literally had a man spit in my face just because I said...
Yeah, that's insane.
You know what I mean?
Like, nah, for real.
Just insane. No. That was one of the worst instances. Or, like, if I've gone out, someone's grabbed me, or, like, I've been followed or stuff like that. Like, it's just... It's literally... I don't think men, like some men, realize the extent of how bad it is. Maybe even all men don't realize, because some men that I'm seeing now, maybe even you guys, you might not have actually realized what women go through until maybe this week, like, to the full extent, if you're reading people's experiences, maybe that you know of,
yeah,
that you haven't actually thought of and maybe thought, rah, like I've known her for so long, I didn't even know that that even happened to her, that's happened to women. And I think
it's a real eye-opening experience, I think, for everyone.
100%.
The thing is, that's sad. Like, I had to actually deleting Twitter for good because that thing is so toxic. The amount of, like, men that are saying, like, disgusting things that, like, not even people that I know. You know, if you, like, go under a thread and see things, like, whether it's race, whether it's to do with gender, some of the things that people say, like, it's just so disgusting. And this was one of the weeks I just thought, it was like, when it was to do with the migrants, Black Lives Matter, and then this, I just thought, I'm not doing it anymore. Because
I completely agree.
It's just disgusting. Yeah, it's just, some people just don't.
I think, what I've learned is just how, like, different our lives are, in the sense that, you know, there's things that I can do that, you know, that women just wouldn't even think about doing. Sometimes if you say it's late at night and you fall asleep on the train, but like, that's never been a concern or of mine. Like, it's not an issue. Or I've just done it and I'm not bat an eyelid. But girls have been like, no, I can't fall asleep on public transport because you just don't know what's going to happen. And that, when I heard that, I was like, that's something that I just do, like, you know, I have no issues falling asleep on the train, but you can't do that.
Yeah. I end up in Shrewsbury Nest, bro. What's going on there?
Why I can't fall asleep on the train.
But can that be happening, man? Going somewhere and I'll end up at the end of the line. I said, nah, this is taking the piss.
That's a fact. One quick note I do want to say, just even for the mandem, I think we need to be accountable and also be able to call out our own mandem. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's very, it's uncomfortable because it's the people that you spend the most time with. But if you hear something, you see something, that's the place to start, in my opinion. Because there's always a saying, oh, fuck what my bro done, that's my jigger, or whatever. All those things that we say and we popularize, they're cool to say in rap, but I think it's also a very uncomfortable conversation. But, you know, sometimes you hear something your boy has said and you're like, nah, that don't sound right. Do you know what I mean? And
it doesn't even have to be a conversation. It could just be like a few words, like, yo, and like, you should have that understanding of like, yeah, like, you know what, I've crossed the line, you know what, yeah, that's not what I should do. So I hear what you're saying, man.
100%. It's something we've got to make normal, because that way, that's the best way we learn. Because it's unlikely you might do it for somebody random, but if it's your brethren, then there's more, you can have that open conversation. I know Demi would probably pull me to the side and like, yo, bro, you wild out there. Do you know what I mean? So that's something we definitely need to make more normal, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just think having honest conversations with a man, because it's, we're the problem. So I think putting all the onus on girls is just not right. So we know what's right and wrong deep down. So if we see something going, a conversation, or we see something going the way that it shouldn't be, I think it's for us to also be able to step in. But again, I've learned so much this week. So especially when we're all about to be able to go back outside and, you know, people will be enjoying themselves, there's hope there. But I think, you know, it's important to learn these lessons so that everyone can enjoy themselves as well. Because that was one of the things I was thinking about, like, you know, summer's about to come, everyone has plans that they, you know, they want to go out and they want to, but people shouldn't feel uncomfortable because I live near where it happened, and, you know, the girls around here, it's different, you know, their mood is deflated, and naturally, as it would be, same way if it happened in Thurrock or something, you'd expect the girls around there to feel a bit uncomfortable and a bit weary, but, you know, I've just basically said, no, I've got your back, like, it doesn't matter, like, it does matter, but it's, we're all here to try and fix the situation, so we have to do what we can to make everyone feel comfortable. I think that's, you know, if there's one lesson we can take from this, it should be that.
The thing that's like just jarring about everything that's been going on is like, even like, I don't want matters like this to just be a hype moment and disappear. Like, even like I'd never want a situation and a topic and, you know, what people are experiencing to be a hype moment and people saying, yeah, this should stop, and then it gets forgotten about, because even like what we've seen with like George Floyd and stuff like that. Like, we've all marched, we've protested, we've like screamed, like, why can't we just have like people just be fair to all communities and races? Racism is still going on. We can still keep preaching to the higher heavens, protect women. Women should be protected. Rapes are still going to happen. Like, people are still going to get kidnapped. And it just like, I want to be hopeful to say like one day all these nasty things, like from all sorts of things, are going to stop. But then at the same time, like, even like what I was saying before, like, we don't live in an ideal world. We can try and do to reduce it and change it, but there are so many wicked and evil people out there. It's just, I don't know if it's even virtually like possible to get it.
But I think when I think of stuff like that, I can't, because you will send yourself insane if you think you can fix the whole world. So I just think the most important thing to me, and it's not selfish, but I think it's what can I do? As long as I'm living the way that I preach and I'm taking the necessary steps, you know, to make sure that I'm practicing what I'm preaching, then that's important. And I'm making sure my community as well does that. You can't fix everything, unfortunately. That would, in an ideal world, we could, but we can't. So it's just about making sure you yourself are doing the right things, and then your community as well, your immediate community as well. At least that way you know that you've had some impact.
I love that, literally. I feel like sometimes I get so empathetic with like the world, because even like on socials, even when I've worked with brands, I've always made it a key point. Like, I can grow my brand in socials, but I want to make people aware of what's going on in the world. That's always been one of my main things. And like, you can just become so aware of everything that's happening. Like, I watch documentaries, I'll read the news. Some people I know don't even like reading the news because they're like, oh, I just don't want the negative energy. But like, when you're so empathetic and you take in all of that energy and you just like, you want to be able to save the world, you become so helpless to try and like exactly what you said. You can't save the world. You can't. So like, even to you guys, the fact that you guys have like sat back and like reevaluated, like, oh, this is what I could do. This is what like maybe could help a woman feel more comfortable. Like even like little steps like that, like it means so much to us, because it means there are men out there that actually care. And you know what? It's been sad because this week, like, we've seen Sarah Everard pass and she's gone missing and women are speaking out. And then you see the hashtags like not all men. And it's just like, it's just exactly the same, like all lives matter. Like no one
that is exactly the same. No one is
saying that. All lives do matter, but that's not the topic. That's not what we're talking about. Like not all men, but that's not what we're talking about. There is a lot of men that do it. And maybe it's not all men, but all women are experiencing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, so
I think when people, again, it goes back to what I said, when people are talking on topics that are important to them or that they care about, just listen, like take it in. It's not all men, you know that within yourselves, like don't be stupid, but right now that's the topic. Let the woman have the stage and let them speak their truth
and believe us. That's one of the key things, because there's even like in instances in the music industry, there's women that I know that have faced certain things that are too afraid to speak out, some things that I'm not ready to speak out on, because people just won't believe you. If you're not sitting there with mountains of proof that this happened, print screens, this, that, there's so many, like, maybe not so many, there's a portion of people that will say that didn't happen and maybe try and make people deflect and think, yeah, no, that didn't happen, when we have been suffering. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes making women feel better. And if a woman tells you something, believe them, because the amount of proportion of women that don't even go to the police when it comes to rape cases, abuse cases, because the police either don't do anything or they don't believe them. It's sad. It's really sad.
I think we just have to do better as a society and take lessons when things like this happen. I think that's all we can do. Make sure your community is good. Like Colin said, make sure you're checking up on your mandem. And just making sure that we learn from this wholeheartedly. That is, it'd be a shame for something like this to happen. And, you know, again, like you said, it shouldn't just be something that blows up. We should really take lessons from this and then go on to put it into practice.
Yeah.
So I guess just before we move on to the next topic, just again, condolences to Sarah Everard's family, RIP to her. And yeah, it's just, we have to learn going forward. Okay, so the next topic for today is, it kind of got spurred on because last week, E-Man, he said, I often call albums a classic way too early, or I've said a lot of albums are classics. So I just wanted to get people's opinions on what for them are classic albums.
Are you asking album titles, like by artists, or just like specific ones?
Yeah, classic. Any, basically. It can also be personal classics as well. It doesn't have to be an album that like everyone thinks is a classic, which is something I'm trying to differentiate from more now. Like, if I think it's a classic, it doesn't mean the whole room thinks it's a classic. Obviously, there's albums like Illmatic that everyone thinks is a classic, you know.
It's like staples, isn't it? And like staples in the genre, like Boy in the Corner, everyone's going to say that's a classic just because of that, what it is and stuff like that. But then there's personal ones as well, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
When I was thinking, oh God, wow, what am I going to come up with? Because I know these men are going to say rap albums and stuff like that, this, this, that. And I'm thinking, like, obviously there's universal classic stuff, but then there's obviously personal classic stuff. For me, one of them, because I literally come across the album again the other day and I was just sitting there listening and singing on my bed, like, hyping, like, oh my God, I remember. Like, Frank Ocean, Channel Orange, like, that was just, like...
Classic.
Yeah, that's a classic.
I'm wearing an orange hoodie, which is actually mad. But yeah, it was just, like, he's, like, literally insane, like, melodically, everything, like... It was just, like, classic album is something you listen back to and it just brings back so, like, many memories and you just think... that moment of like listening to it and taking it in, and it's just been a classic over time, but absolutely. Maybe it's not really a classic for everyone, but I do know obviously a lot of people, you obviously probably have heard it and stuff like that, or might like it or whatever, but yeah, to some people that's like a classic album, I guess.
That is a classic.
There's too many, man.
Yeah, I was stumped when I asked this. I thought, oh, and I had to call someone, let's think of some classic albums, because I'm like, my mind got spun, there's so many.
There is so many, but it's just a case of you being able to just... You can discuss them or just say, like, your personal favourites as well.
Personal favourites. I love My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by Kanye. I think that was, like, his peak of his powers. Good Kid, Mad City was amazing as well when that first came out. That was, like, quite close to Channel Orange as well, because so that time frame kind of was all condensed to me.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Drake as well. Drake's got a few, to be fair.
Yeah, I saw a debate on Twitter. So they were saying, Take Care, Nothing Was the Same. And if you're reading this,
I'm not mad at that.
I think that's fair.
I'm not mad at it. I know people like favor one over the other. I know some people love Take Care more than the rest, which is fine.
I don't even know. Sometimes I think Take Care is good for sure. But I just think it's so long. I think it's running time. It's down near an hour and a half. And I'm like, I'll never forget. We went to school with him. Harry Johnson, and probably had about 5 conversations with the kid, but he's a good kid. But he was talking about buying the Drake album. He was like, I'm taking this back to HMV, it's too long. I was crying.
That's true.
I agreed, but I can't believe he was like, yeah, I'm returning this. The album's too long. At an hour and a half, I don't blame him, man, because the album is long. But
I think Chris Brown had the longest one. Didn't he have like 40 songs on an album?
Oh my God.
I didn't even listen to the album, but oh my God, no. Yeah, no, that's I think the longest album. That's
probably He was taking the mic.
What was the thought process behind that?
I don't know. About...
There was none. That's what it was.
It's so talented, but I think with stuff that's obviously happened in the past and like events and certain things, I don't think maybe he's appreciated talent-wise as much as what he should be. And obviously what happened, maybe him and Rihanna, like, not maybe, what did happen was obviously really bad, but I think that's just taken such a stint. I think it was just like, here's everything, take all of it, you know, this is like, and I think it was just a big, you know, listen to me kind of thing.
I think he's got a good album in Fame, but I don't know, whenever I think about that album, I always think, is that more because I was in year 11 and there's 100%. A lot of fun songs on there that I really enjoyed?
100%. You're not listening to Year Times 3 right now, bro. You're definitely not listening to that tune right now.
What's the one, the dance tune that he had that everyone loved? Live your life, live your life.
Oh my beautiful God. People. Beautiful people. It's a good song, to be honest with you.
It is a good song.
Now, he had that time period unlocked, man.
I really like Jack Harlow. He's like literally, he's hilarious.
He's too funny.
He's so hilarious.
He's definitely one of my best fans that I found recently. And his album that just came out was pretty good, actually.
He's not bad.
The Boy Can Spit. No, I'm not saying it's a classic. Chill. It's a good album, though. I want to know, can you remember albums that I've said that are a classic that you looked at me funny?
No, the people of Mumbai and the people of New Delhi can go back on the episodes and listen to every single episode and find out. shout out to the listeners, but I think my classic album is, well, this is my introduction to hip hop. This was Beg for Mercy by G Unit. Shout outs to Omar. Like, Omar brought me in. I was listening to it. I was like, what the hell was this? And it was the first track. From like Young Buck, like he says, vacate your home, I come to break your bones. Like, and the thing is, I'm in a Christian household, I should not be listening to me. So the fact of the matter is, vacate your home or come to break your bones. It's like, oh, this is something special. This is something nice. So definitely Beg for Mercy. And then also So Far Gone, man. I think that's a classic for everybody.
Of course.
That's definitely a classic for everybody. Because especially the time when I went to Alabama, like that was on a school trip. So that was the album I used to listen to like the whole entire time. But yeah, no, those two albums, definitely a classic. Definitely a classic, yeah.
For me, also Get Rich or Die Trying, man. That was a time in my life, man. I remember it, in the club was just something special. Like, that was just... couldn't escape it. That
still can't. You still can't escape it. It's still ringing off somewhere in the world right now. I don't know 100%,
man. In the club was a moment. And then, you know, the fact that you had so many good follow-up singles from that album, you know. I think 21 Questions is on there. It's just such a solid project. That was a moment for me. I think classic albums also they create a space in your memory and they create a moment for you as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would even go as far as saying Konnichiwa. Konnichiwa was a classic album as well, especially because that was when grime was at its peak. And more so, I think everybody was just talking about that album and everybody loved the album at the same time. Do you get what I'm saying? And it just, that was what, 2014, I think? 2014, 15? So yeah, no, that album, it banged differently. Do you get what I'm saying? So
yeah, it was a special, yeah, it was definitely a special definitely moment.
Classic for me.
See, I think Konnichiwa, and then I also think Blacklisted, like before, like I think Blacklisted is just like...
Yeah. Blacklisted is better on that. Blacklisted is such a...
Oh my God, like it's literally, that is such a classic album.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But the reason why I definitely love Blacklisted, but the thing about Konnichiwa was that everybody
knew
what it was. It was the same, everybody was on the same vibe. Do you know what I'm saying? Whereas Blacklisted, I don't think a lot of people listened to Blacklisted at that time. Whereas Konnichiwa, everybody listened to it. So
yeah, I hear that. It was definitely a moment.
It was time before, basically. Yeah.
I agree. No, I think there's some definitely good suggestions. Has a classic been released? Collins, I see you made in Lagos.
It could be, but I feel about this album. I feel kind of sad because we should have been outside when this came out.
Yeah, man. He put crack in that album, man. It's different.
I still maintain Get's album will be classic when time goes by, for sure. And I think Kano's Hoodies, I can't remember the name of the full album when that came out. I think that's a sensational album as well. But in the Young Bucks as well, like Hustle a couple now, if I'm being honest with you. Dave as well. Dave's album, you could argue.
You could argue it. He's literally like,
he's an alien, man. That kid's an alien.
For real. That's actually even a
it's so cold.
Just intertwined, so sick, like.
So cold.
Sick. Even the tune that they done together and the video, everything was just so cold. I had that tune repeat like the days when that came out. Whole album.
His verses, he's different. It's nice to see that you know, because they have this conversation on Joe Budden podcast quite a bit, and they talk about rappers that are aliens and like they're not from this world. And it's nice to see. We probably always have, but we haven't had that discussion. But it's nice to see that, you know, we can identify in the UK. We've got people like that, like Jay Huss. Straight alien, like anything he touches is turns to gold. Dave, straight alien. I think Getz is an alien, you know. Now that we're able to start
listening to Ambush,
E-Man, you've muted yourself, bro. Hello,
E-Man, listening to Ambush, like that album, like he's actually a crazy guy.
Well,
not too much.
No, I'm not listening to Ambush too tough. You know, I'm
gonna like Ambush from your picture, from your background.
But the album sucks. Like this was supposed to be like, even if you look at his documentary, like the one he released on YouTube, this was supposed to be the song, like the album for the summer, like legit. But like majority of the songs on this album just slap differently. But yeah, but if I was to say like, what do you mean by classic? What that everybody can fuck with in terms of like today?
Well, no, it's even like personal classics as well. Like, for example, I think an example for me would be like, for me, What a Time to Be Alive is a personal classic. But I know that a lot of people have their opinions on that album. But I hold it very close to my heart. You know, so even conversations like that, something that you might think is a great body of work, but other people might not be too tough on, or, you know, it's not looked at in the same light. You know what I mean?
Even when I was thinking it, like, mine, like, one of them would be, like, Mary J. Blige. I think it's The Breakthrough. Like, she, like, because I was trying to think of, like, stuff, and then I was, like, looking at albums, and I thought, oh, my God, like, even when I looked up that one and the songs that are in it, like, it just brought back such a nostalgia for me, like, listening to it, and if songs play, like, I know all the words to it, like, it just brings, like, yeah, it's like a personal album. Like, a lot of people are going to say that wasn't a classic album to them, but to me personally, like, growing up listening to that, yeah, that was, like, a classic album, like, a personal classic.
No, I love that.
Love Mary.
I guess does anyone else have any other suggestions before we move on?
Emmanuel.
He's trying to get us to listen to us, my brother. Well, I'm gonna listen to it after this.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out after as well.
I'm gonna take it in.
I mean, Griselda's doing a lot, but I think.
Oh my God! Don't I had Griselda in my head, Griselda. Fam, they need to come to the UK. Honestly, oh my God, they're so gully. Oh,
you into that rapidy rap? Rapidy rap.
Come on, B. Oh,
even what's his name?
West Side Gun.
King to a God. Conway. That album, it slaps differently. Even the deluxe, it just his lyrical techers is just something completely different.
And do you know what I'm saying? Gibbs.
Oh, Gibbs is my guy, man. Gibbs is my guy.
Yeah,
no, Bandana and Alfredo. Those two albums, chef kiss.
Nah, Bandana is something special, man.
Sensation.
Like, when did they actually start popping off? Let's say in the last maybe 2 years, they've started getting a lot more.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
They need to come to the UK. When they do a rave, a concert, whatever you want to call it, like, but the thing is, with Griselda as well, I feel like it's just a selective amount of people that might be listening to them, because it's quite like old school kind of vibes with the like beats and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
they've got a huge fan. Their fan base is a lot bigger than I thought it'd be.
Yeah,
you'd be surprised though, because even when me and Collins, we went to the Pusha T one, we just saw like a completely different vibe. Like it wasn't specifically a demographic. It was everybody that was there that just fucked with Pusha T. They were there because they fucked with Pusha T. So with Griselda,
it would be the same.
There's a bunch of people who fuck with Griselda.
That's a fact.
It's rap album of the year. Maybe not many people, not in a rude way to them, because I'm obsessed with them. I love that. Like, I can't wait to see them. But like, even when I was talking to someone else who feels exactly the same, they're like, yeah, their merch or their clothing, even their clothing brand sells out like that. Like,
yeah.
But like, they're like lyrically like disgusting. Like, it's just art. Like, you can't even put words to it. Like, you listen, 100%. You catch a bar, and you're like, oh my days. Like, how the hell did that even play in your head? But like, sometimes when I listen to the beats, I feel like, oh, is that something that people might be into? Because sometimes I feel like it's like an old school kind of vibe, but like a new school kind of vibe. And I didn't think that they'd have like such a massive fan base, because it feels quite nostalgic, but new. But yeah, no, it's so sick to see that so many people here feel the same.
Yeah, no, they've tapped into something that a lot of people want. You know, I think there's a lot of young people that like them, but they're also respected with the old heads as well. Yeah. So they are very much the perfect balance. It is very boom back. But I think it's needed in the genre, because you've got a lot of this melodic stuff going on, which I'm happy with. I'd probably lean more towards that, but there needs to be a balance. And I think Griselda definitely bring that balance. And they'll only get bigger because, you know, they're charting well. And I'm not going to say they need that single, because they don't. And they probably don't want that single. Not. They're not making music for that.
I know Benny the Butcher made a song with Drake, but I don't think he wants to put it out, because I can see why he wouldn't want to, because it's not what he's trying to do in a way.
Yeah, I hear that.
But yeah, you're right. You're definitely right, Demi.
All right. So fourth topic. So I just wanted to get people's opinions. It might not be a long topic, but I just want to get some ideas. And we've got a DJ in the house. So I just wanted to get some people's ideas on songs that they think will slap this summer. What's going to get the party hot, you know? Just a few suggestions.
I'm going to say Macro G. Macro G, I don't know if you've obviously heard some of his stuff, but he's got like some of the tunes that popped off this year. He hasn't even, look at the way Emmanuel's smiling. He hasn't even had a he hasn't even had a chance for it to pop off in a rave. Like, everyone was hyping to it, like at home, like whatever. But he hasn't even, like, it's so annoying. He hasn't had that moment to even have it, like, performing and everyone hyped to it. I feel like when that plays, I'm really hoping for him that, like, people obviously just, like, hype back, like, oh, my God, we've had this moment. That needs to have its moment. He needs that, 100%.
Yeah, he's got some energy, boy. Oh, flipping heck.
Why was Emmanuel smiling? What were you thinking?
Because I want to be in the centre.
It's that temper tea sort of energy, man.
Oh,
I'm glad exactly not what I'm thinking.
It
exactly
is 100%.
Yeah. 100%. There's a lot of songs that I've just been like, damn, how have we not been able to hear this out yet? I think, you know, Laugh Now, Cry Later, Drake and Lil Durk. I definitely want to hear that outside. I'm trying to think of some others.
I want to hear Essence by this guy out. Wizkid. I want to hear that song. Mm. That would slap.
Yeah. I'm trying to hear No Stress by him out, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
PC. When he says that thing about South London girls, I was like, you know what? Me and you, mutual understanding. Me and Wiz, we'll talk later.
You don't really chat for girls, is that what you're saying?
Come on, man.
There's no one here. It's such a dead area.
That's why we left. That's why we S'd out.
No one here.
I don't know why we're still called Maiden Chapel.
I don't even talk to anyone here. Like, I literally don't talk to anyone here. You have to branch out.
I hear you, man.
You have to.
That's why we left, boy.
You can't even go to like a bar. Where are you gonna go? Las Iguanas or something? Like, you can't even go anywhere.
I told them put a club in Chafford. I've been telling. Been telling Lakeside, that's all you man have to do.
You have one job.
But then again, I don't want to see everybody there. Like, I don't want it to be...
No, it's nice, man. I don't want that, like, I'm kind of jealous. Like, people who have their, like, who come from a town where there's a club, it's really nice because sometimes you might just go there and you see people from school and it's just nice, you know, just to wrap them up, say, yo, how you doing? How's the family? Keep it moving. It is nice to have that. And they missed
conversations
it. They missed that opportunity.
But them conversations don't end up keep it moving. It ends up like carry on talking about other stuff. You're like, oh, I need to go now. Like, it's just... Well, you don't even say I've walked past people from school down my road and we're giving each other eye contact like, oh, we went to school together. Should we say hi? Should we not? And we just walk past each
other. That's okay.
It's like, bro, I used to literally chill with you like in school. Like, what the hell? Like, and it's just a mutual like, okay, we've seen each other, but we're not going to say hi. It's dead. I love Chafford. I love it, but I feel like it's just so dry.
It's
a small area. If you've got people, like, it's important to branch out, as you said as well. What else am I trying?
I want to hear Blue Woo out, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. It depends where. It depends where I want to hear it out.
Yeah.
There's certain places I don't want to hear that song.
That's a fact.
It's quite hard to pinpoint. Go on.
I was going to say Heady One and Young T and Bugsy Princess Cuts. I'm trying to hear that out. A nice hall party, you know, give him a little two-step with an auntie. Nice hall
party,
vibes.
You know, you're
dumb. A jollof rice in one hand.
Wow. It's quite hard to pinpoint, because even when you're looking back at tunes, I feel like they've just had a moment like during lockdown and then it's kind of like, not disappeared, but it's just like, you don't want it to be a tune that's been forgotten. I think that's what's so good about No Signal. Obviously, you guys must have heard it.
They kept
things, even if it was like new, whatever, just still being current. And I think that was just so neat because people were talking and continuously talking about it. But obviously, like, where we haven't actually been able to go out, when you try and... I even called someone before, I was like, oh, like, what are some tunes that we've heard? Like, my mind just went blank. And then you just can't think. Because you haven't had that experience going out and be like, you know... excited, enjoying that moment. Do you know what I mean? It's quite
annoying. Yeah, I hear that. I think, do you know who I feel sorry for? Because I don't know if it will have the same impact it might have. Our homeboy that did the Dion remix, that was, funny enough, he said on No Signal, Billie Jean, like, if he'd been able to go outside at some point and hear that, would have been insane. Yeah. I still think it could go off, but I don't think it would be able to have the impact it was going to, which is painful.
Wow. It won't. Sadly, but you know.
It's one of those ones. But I keep saying, I was talking to Colin yesterday. I said, listen, if Fine Wine comes in the party by Getz, listen, they're just going to have to listen to it, man. They're just going to. I don't care if they're like, oh, yeah, this is 5 minutes long. They're listening to all 5 minutes.
You're dumb, man.
hold the DJ hostage. Play the whole thing, bro.
Let it rock.
That's true.
I don't even know what song I probably want to listen to. I mean, because the thing is, the songs that I'm listening to right now is not for
going out.
That's same as me. I can't think of any that, like, collectively to be like, I want to hear this and everyone's going to hype to it. I can't massively, except Back Row G for me, that was literally one of the main ones. But then obviously if we saw a list of songs or played stuff, we'd be like, oh my God, yeah, obviously, of course. But quite hard to actually pinpoint.
It is. I think it's just an interesting conversation to have, because obviously I think the harder thing is a lot of the songs that we want to hear out, they've been on the shelf for a while now. So it's a case of you don't know how people are going to respond to it. So it's interesting to see. I just want to get everyone's opinions and see where we'd be at with it. But I think people we've all listed some good songs that I think we'll still hopefully be able to go off.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So final topic for today. I'm sure everyone watched the interview. Meghan and Harry. Meghan came with a tea. Harry came with even
with
more tea.
Came with a whole kettle.
The whole kettle.
Oh, my God.
That's a very hot coffee pot, man. That's what they said. They came with it. It was insane. I didn't expect them to give. I thought it was going to be very cookie cutter. So I was shocked when they came with as much as they did.
100%.
God damn, royal family. They're trying to put them in a spliff, man.
Hey, speaking of spliffs, yeah. Before we get into it, I just wanna say, just for Piers, yeah. We're not smokers on this pod, but we got to smoke that Piers pack right now. We've got to light it up.
He's been smoked. He's gone.
God, smoke that Piers pack. Bro.
I literally took a nap the day that happened, and I was like screaming for like days, like, Piers, no, whatever you're doing, like, it's nasty. Took a nap, woke up. Piers has now announced that he's left ITV. I was like, what the hell is going on? It was actually such a mad week. It's such a, like, I think all the events that have been happening recently, it's just like one after the other. I think it's so much to take in. It's crazy. So
it is a lot, actually. Yeah, no, for
sure. It's mad. The thing is with Piers, right? I respect him enough to give no filter opinion. Mm-hmm. So if it's something that's bugging him, he will make sure his voice is heard.
Mm.
Now, with this situation, it's like, you know what? I'm hearing elements of the conversation of what he's saying. Don't disrespect my queen, blah, 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 this, and that. I hear it, but I'm not understanding where this pain is coming from.
Mm.
Then it comes to the point where it's like, my man tried to bag this girl, failed. Then he said, you know what, babes, it's all right. Let me pay for your taxi to get yard. Nope,
it's an L.
Nah, that was that money, that £10, that £15 taxi. Yeah, let's just say it's the London taxi. That taxi took her, all the way to Harry.
Now she has. I couldn't even imagine taking that sort of L, man.
That's a violation. That's an L. That's a
big L.
She goes to him as well.
That's something you have to hold for the rest of your life. That's family that you see on TV. That family could have been yours.
Well, Archie could have been a son of Piers.
Fam, it's mad. That's all I can say.
Bro, he's married at the time. It threw me. I was like, what? Boy. And he's talking about my car. It's like, bro, you have a wife at home. What?
A whole wife. Nah, he's different, man. But yeah, he's out of here. And good riddance, in my opinion. Again, it's not what they said. I think Amber Gill from Love Island put out a really good tweet, which I saw Colin retweeted. Freedom of speech is free, but, you know, when the consequences come, you've got to be ready to take them. And you can't go on national TV and someone saying, you know, I felt suicidal and then be like, oh, I don't believe her. I don't believe anything that comes out of this woman's mouth. Because that's insane. You look mad. Now you don't have a job. P45 coming soon.
And then he tried to what he was saying. I think I saw another clip. He was saying like, oh, I'm not saying I don't believe in her, this, that. But I just don't believe in the fact that the royal family wouldn't protect her if she's talking about having suicidal thoughts. That's not what you said, bro. You literally said, I don't believe that she was suicidal, which is literally like disgusting. A pregnant, mixed race, black woman. And you're turning around saying that you can't believe her when she's been in a racist institution, or we don't even know to the extent of what she's even experienced. We've only got an ounce of what she's actually gone through.
100%.
So,
100%.
That's a fact.
The baby finger sat in light. I know they got more in the chamber, you know. Like, they're just sprinkling.
That was great.
They're sprinkling that. I know there's
even
more.
Crazy about that as well. Like, I remember having a conversation with my older brother. Shout out to my older brother. But basically, ask my brother, get me. Anyways, so I remember having a conversation with my older brother years ago. This was in season two of...
Suits?
Suits. Yeah, Suits. That's the one.
I love that.
And I told my brother, like, yeah, she's mixed race. She's like, what? Like, yeah, she's mixed race. So, like, the fact that my brother couldn't tell that she was mixed race, he thought she was white. Because, obviously, she has a very lighter complexion compared to the majority of mixed race people. So, my brother thought she was white. Like, that sort of questioning, like, yo, is the baby going to be a dark thing? It's like...
Do they even know, like, genetics? Like, what did they think the baby was going to come out like?
They are very well-educated individuals. They did
that. I'm not bad. That, what a dumb question. Prince Harry is white, and Meghan is very like. They thought that the baby was going to come out looking like me or something. They would have been. They would have been devastated. Queen throwing up. Like, is this what you? No, man. It's sad that even someone had to say that. You know what I mean?
It's just like when that even got said, I just sat back and I was like, whoa. But I'm like Arab, like white, like I'm obviously not black. But then I was just thinking the amount of black women, black men, black kids that are going to see that and see that was a discussion that was had. Like, I can be shocked about it, but for you guys and the black community and stuff, it's just a whole nother like level of like disgust. Obviously, it's disgusting.
Yeah, tell Lizzie it's on site.
Obviously it's on site, but it's just like. I can't believe we're in 2021 and we're still having this conversation. Like, you're seeing, like, I think it's Kelechi and stuff, they're going on the news and speaking about topics, or there was one black woman went and spoke, I can't remember what her name is, but, like, the constant conversation that is had, like, you have white presenters asking them questions and, like, the black counterparts who are answering them, just, like, it kind of gets to a stage in the conversation where we're, like, why do we have to keep like re-explaining this? Why do we have to keep explaining to you that this is how we're feeling? If we're telling you this is a racial trope or this is racist, why do we have to keep explaining that this is racist? Because we are experiencing it. It might not be termed as like you are this or you are that, but the connotations that are coming from it, it has like a racial obviously tone to it. And it's just so wild that like and annoying that the black community have to keep constantly explaining and educating
other
people. Like, even like when Black Lives Matter happened, like I'm obviously like anti-racism anyway, but like I even took another step back and was just like re-educating myself. Why am I going to go to the black community and say, teach me, tell me, when I can go and openly learn myself? But it goes to show, like, even with the whole Meghan conversation, like, we are so far away from like removing racism and removing like so many inequalities, because let's be real, as much as people here turn around and say that Britain isn't racist, Britain is racist. It is racist as hell. Like, everyone experienced it in some way or another, barring the white community. But it's 100%. It's wild. That interview just threw me. I was just like, wow. But is it surprising at the same time? Like, was you surprised?
Absolutely
really?
Not.
No. You want to believe better, you know what I mean? Because it's just so—it's so old. But I guess you know what—that family has someone who's nearly 100 years old in it. I shouldn't be surprised at all.
Boy, you know what that man have been on the past in history? Period. Colonization, bro. They've been on booting from the beginning of time.
That's a fact.
I watched the interview today. I didn't even watch the interview. It was a clip you're probably going to see on Twitter, and it's this like posh white guy speaking about how the royal family can't be racist because look at the black colonies that I think that they own or something like that. I was like, I can't believe you're turning around.
You left them countries in tatters.
Does that make you not racist? The jewels that really... on your head are coming from African lands. Do you know what I mean? And a culture that has come from royalty and, you know, the British Empire is disgusting. Do you know what I mean? How the hell can That's you not think that? Oh my God, it's wild. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know what's really, like, really, really mad? Yeah, it's just the thing of, like, you see the Queen, yeah? The Queen right now, this is like when I go into my thinking bag, right? And I think to myself, the Queen is, like, she's the law. Do you know what I'm saying? She is above all in terms of the United Kingdom. the way they spilt tea, I just really fear for Meghan Markle. Not so much Harry, but Meghan Markle, because it's like what you're doing is you're treading on dangerous waters. Yeah, you're treading on dangerous waters right now, and anything can happen to you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if the Queen demands something, that's it. Like, they would have to obey. Like, the government right now, they control a lot. Like, they've taken a lot of control from her. But at the end of the day, she is the one to say yes or say no. And she's given them the power to do what they need to do in order for the UK to function as it's supposed to function. But if she feels like, nah, today is my day where I have to say something, that's it. And it's not it's not just the Queen. It's Philip. It's Andrew. It's a bunch of people out there that can just wave a finger and get things done. Mm. So, you know, with stupid remarks like, oh yeah, how dark is the baby going to be? Like, that's not a question of like, oh yeah, the baby's going to be a bit dark or this is... That's just to put somebody in a very bad position. And then the fact of like... her saying, you know, she's going around the globe, you know, as a princess, you know, to give women a voice, you know, to give them inspiration. As soon as she goes to the kingdom, she's being silenced. I think she's just not being respected at all. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
So it's just like, they didn't even try and help her, you know, when she was saying she had to Google what the national anthem was, like things like that. Like that's the sort of thing. They just let her drown, is how I feel. They didn't give her any support. Obviously,
the whole, sorry to cut you off, you know, the whole, what's it called? She mentioned something along the lines of Archie can't be titled as a prince, and it's something that they had to go against royal tradition, which was that he should have been titled a prince because it was the grandmother's grandson. They automatically get called a prince and stuff like that. And he would be completely removed of that because of him being like part black, which is just insane. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know. I don't know. But then at the same time, it was kind of like, it was weird because they protected the Queen so much. Like Harry, the grandmother, she hasn't done anything. And Meghan just spoke so highly of her. But then it makes you turn around and think, how believable is it? Are you just saying it because you're protecting the Queen? Do you have to protect yourselves? And then they kept talking about like, there's a higher body in the whatever Buckingham Palace, whatever you want to call it. I don't care about.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
I'm literally anti-monarchy, but like, who is this higher being that's like above the Queen and makes this? I don't know if they make decisions above the Queen, but they always kept speaking about there's this higher body of people, and you just think like, who the hell is it, and how many people are there, and what are they saying?
Yeah, that's terrifying.
I think it's just like, I'm going to make a full assumption that none of this is facts, but I think it's like what you see in the films, even in like just in certain societies as well. Like you have some individuals who are high in position, but they have individuals to guide them.
Real power.
They're proper. So I think the Queen has her advisors. I think the Queen has probably been in a position where it's just like, I need to conduct myself in a certain way, whether I believe in things or not. Because remember when she heard the news that, what's it, Harry don't want to be prince no more? The way she was like screwing at every single photographer, slowed down the whip, looked at them, then skirted off. I mean, we've mentioned this last week, but even like, just to go back on that, I think the Queen may feel a completely different way in terms of how everybody else in the family may feel. Do you get what I'm saying? So the Queen, I think she's really for Harry because she knows, I think she knows what happened to Diana. And I think she obviously sees the consequences of that and seeing how Harry's going through this sort of situation. And I think she's really for Harry, but I think the rest of the family or certain family members are just not for it. And maybe even some of the advisors who have told her, listen, you're going to have to Google the thing. We ain't going to tell you. Like, we're not going to help you out. You see your son? I don't think he's going to get protection or anything like that. Like, certain things like that, I think the royal family in some areas are divided in the opinion of Megan.
That's a fact. Bless her. Probably Googling the national anthem. Assumption.
So
it's hard because we're sitting here basing all of our opinions based on like one interview, and I'm not sitting here saying I don't believe anything. I'm solely like I'm for Meghan. Like I feel so sorry that she's even had to go through this with like her family and stuff like that, and Harry obviously. Mm. But it's just like there's so much more that we still need to know as well.
100%. That's a fact. Yeah.
Like even the royal family just announced a statement to say that, oh yeah, we're not racist. Like that's, we're completely for Harry and thingy. And then I think it was it William was recently out in a school or something and had like a black woman in like an African like attire standing. And it was just, I don't know. It's like a weird.
Didn't even
like,
know I get a coat, man.
Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know. It just really makes you question to think like.
Yeah, my mum was screaming, yeah, we're not racist.
It's crazy, man.
I just saw that. I thought, what the hell are you doing? Like, literally. And I think, like, throughout the interview, I was kind of like, I really want to have this picture in my head, like, how they was presenting the Queen to be like, the nice grandmother. Like, I just, like, wanted to believe that. But you'll never know. You don't know what any of them are like. We'll never know. They don't have no protection. They have to be careful with what they're saying. Which that's is really wild, like, to remove complete protection for, like...
Yeah, that's absolutely
because they are
crazy.
Still royal. It's such a weird decision to, you know, do that. Man, how much would the royal family have to pay you for a photo op in full native clothing?
Sorry?
How much would the royal family have to pay you to get in native clothing for a photo op?
It depends what I'm doing in it.
No, nah, it's just a picture. It's just a picture.
What, just a picture? Just to say hi and then go home. Come back.
Yeah.
Remember, everyone's going to see this. Royal family, you know. Look
what,
at this guy.
Smile like this.
Yeah. So let's just say after all this has happened, you believe what you believe, but they've said, we'll give you 100K if you come here. Full native clothing.
I don't think I want any monetary things. I just want to live tax-free, to be honest. Like, I think that's the
said tax-free. Like,
yeah. We're here to negotiate, my guy. We're here to negotiate, which means if I make a billy, then the billy's mine. Like,
I just hit the belly. they're going to have to give me 100K still.
I wanted to ask as well, how did you guys feel about watching the interview? Like, what was, like, your, like, thoughts, like, initially?
I didn't watch it, but I you know what, I could read the room. You know what I mean? So I can't really give a comprehensive opinion, but I could just say I read the room, I saw a few clips, and it was like if she kept the act, she probably would have done herself.
Yeah, that's a fact.
She probably would have just, you know, done herself, and it would have been a massive story. And then Harry would have to go out and say, yeah, this was the situation, boom, 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 boom. Prince William would have to say, we didn't know she was going through these certain things. So I think sometimes, like in the, like it's a Bible verse where it says, sometimes it's, you know, it's time for them to speak, and then sometimes for individuals to be quiet. And I think this was our time to speak. That's all I can say on it. 100%. And from the clips I had seen, I think she needed to speak to someone to tell them, like, this is what's going on, and to put a mirror in front of them. And I think that's what really was necessary.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree more. I think for me personally, what I took away, because I watched the whole 2-hour thing. So first of all, I TV chased the bag because there was way too many adverts in it. Also disappointed she didn't make no mention of walking the park when she was looking for the national anthem, but I digress. I think for me, it was a case of, and we've all been there where we believe something or something's happened to us and we've told people, or we've made it like known that, you know, this is happening to me, that I'm going mad, and they're not listening. So she had to do that. That's how I feel. Like, she, for her, that was probably very therapeutic. Because she's got people on her side now that will be like, even if they don't believe her or a certain demographic don't, there's enough people now that I feel like, you know, she can feel that her voice has been heard. I think she had to do that. And I completely understand why she did it. And same for Harry. I think for Harry, it was very therapeutic to be like, yeah, that was a situation we had to get out of because, you know, if your wife is telling you she's suicidal, you want to do everything you can. And, you know, it was a very good look for Harry as well because, you know, he played the part of what a husband should do and what a spouse should do as well. You know, your wife should also do it. But he protected his wife when she was in a vulnerable moment and made a really difficult decision in saying, you know what, I love you. You know, I'm going to leave this prestigious organization and I'm going to basically, I don't want to say, you know, I'm going to leave my family essentially because your mental health is that important to me. So that was what I took from it. It was a very interesting insight. But again, like you said, it's only small. We've only heard one side, not that I care about what the other side have to say, but we've only heard a very small fraction. And I think as the years go by, more will come out on this.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, what did you think?
I thought the same, bro. I think if you look at the situation, right, and if you line up all the facts, so if you line up what happened to Diana and the fact that, you know, it's a boy who has now been traumatized his whole life. Yeah. If you look at the fact that it is the monarchy, they are based on the blood of our countries. You know what I'm saying? Nigeria has an independence because of this country and its whole, like, Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you pair that up with the fact that, you know, they don't want to spoil their bloodline and all these deep-rooted issues that happen within this country and the ignorance that comes along with it, I don't see how you can walk away from that story and not feel like she's done personally. Like, I get why people might think she has a vendetta for whatever reason, but in my eyes, you know, the proof's in the pudding there, man.
Yeah, even
to, like, speak about Piers Morgan. Like, I understand what he's saying. I don't necessarily have to agree with everything that he's saying. So, like, I understand what he's saying, where he's talking about, like, you know, listen, you shouldn't really be going out and talking about the family like that. You know, you are discrediting the family. You're putting the family in a public space where they shouldn't be because they are the family. And I understand where he was coming from. But if we're talking about the mother of someone's kids, you know, the wife to somebody, I mean, even potentially, like, Harry is still, he's in a long list, basically, because there is a line in terms of who will become King of England. He's still capable of becoming King of England.
Yeah.
So you're potentially talking about the Queen, the next Queen of England. So it's like, I understand where he's coming from, but right now, certain things just need to be hashed out and spoken of properly.
Mm. Yeah, these men don't need to all just talk and sit down.
Mental health, and actually speaking of suicidal thoughts, it's like, yeah, man, I think that conversation needs to happen because from those conversations, people will then tend to learn and they will move on and improve.
Mm.
And if you're obviously saying, listen, you're just chatting rubbish and garbage, then it's like you're almost removing that power of building yourself up again. So, yeah, I understand where Piers is coming from. I just don't personally agree with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that is all for today in terms of topics. Iman, I remember this week, you'll be happy to know. So before we close, people get in your suggestions for this week.
Music. Or
not suggestion, list off the songs you're listening to so that we can put them in a playlist. Ali, you're obviously welcome to join in as well. Interested to see what you choose. I'll start. Basically, shouts out to Central C. I've been really enjoying his music recently. His album Wild West came out yesterday. Good body of work. I think he's one of the people in Drill who's trying a different thing. Listen to the beat on Loading. It's not the same as every other Drill beat. So massive respect to him. But the song from the album for me was Done Deal. It's got a different kind of vibe to it. So yeah, no, that's my option for this week.
Cool. Mine is, I think it was, well, it's a song called Ask You. It's by a producer called Emil, I think. But the singer on there is called Aisha Requel. I might have butchered her last name. But yeah, the beat is cold. She's got a really nice voice. A couple of nice songs on there as well. There's a feature from Nux and somebody else as well. But yeah, it's a really good song. I'll put it on there.
There is this one song. I didn't gravitate towards it in the very beginning, but since, of course, it's lockdown, No one's really doing too much. I've been listening to it, and it's has it come to this, you know. I'm trying to find out who was the artist. Has it come to this? Oh yeah, here it is, The Streets.
Yeah. My mind just that song, 10 seconds, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That song right there.
Classic.
That's a classic.
Yo, right? Bring back The Streets, man. This song on P405.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? I have like one song that I've been playing. My friend sent it to me and it was like, it's really weird. Like you guys probably won't like it. It's like housey kind of stuff anyway. But it's something that was been playing on BBC. What's it called? Let me just find it. It was We've Lost Dancing and it's by The Blessed Madonna and Fred Again. And it's like, it's just to do like with lockdown. It's like a house song. But you know when they have like the whole like, this is house and speaking and stuff. It's some of the words that are saying in it is like, we've lost loved ones and like we can't be dancing again and stuff like that. It's just like, I listened to it and I was like, right, kind of like, it just made me think of like, hopefully lockdown's over kind of thing. But yeah, I liked it when I heard it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Is it that unts music?
I don't know. Just check it out. See. Probably won't like it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's something different. We need that. Don't worry.
I listen to everything in it.
Nah, appreciate it. We love that. All right, so Ali, I'll tell the people where they can find you online. Obviously, Twitter, not at the moment, but I'm sure they'll be able to find you somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to come back to Twitter, but Instagram, Ali Loren, just like my name in full. It's the same everywhere, to be honest, it's just the same handle for everything. So yeah, if you type it, you'll find me there.
Perfect. All right, make sure to like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff to people in Mumbai, Delhi. We see. Why are you laughing?
Like, is this like people that are like listening to your content that you
see? So we've been able to see through reports that's where a lot of them are. So yeah, we have to give a shout out.
Big up Mumbai.
That's a fact. For real, might have to come take a trip. See what they're saying. But again, episode 78 of the Main Chapel podcast. Until next time.